Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Ben Simmons returned to Philly last night, but it was the Kyrie and KD show from start to finish. Did the Nets prove they are the team to beat in the East? I can't believe we're asking that again. The AFC West added another All-Pro. How nervous should Patrick Mahomes be this morning about Khalil Mack going to the Chargers? And check it out, Knicks guy, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, styling and profiling. Happy Friday, everybody. Those are sweatpants? It's like the Costanza version of the suit. What's up, Nick?
I gotta say, I've never liked him more. That's a great look. Now, it's unfortunate he blew the game with all those turnovers at the end, but that's a great look.
We'll get to it. Boy, if only you had an MVP vote, Nick. Maybe you'd be able to vote that look into an actual MVP vote. All right, here we go.
MVD, most valuable dresser.
There you go. Nets in Philadelphia. The much-anticipated return of Ben Simmons didn't play, but he did attend. So baby steps. Showered with booze as expected, and it didn't get any better for Sixers fans after that. Game of the night, and yet somehow James Harden didn't get the memo. Are we still doing memos? Is that like a thing? The Beard finished 3 of 17 from the field, just 11 points, in a 129-100 rout. But according to Harden, this might actually have been a positive. Hashtag glass half full. Take a listen. Oh.
Tonight was good for us, man. We got our ass kicked, and you know, since I've been here, everything has been, you know, sweet, and you know, we've been winning games, and so tonight was good for us, and we get an opportunity to come down to reality, you know, watch him and just continue to get better and making sure we're in the right strides.
The spin master of spin masters, James Harden. Hey, Broussard, was this just a blip for Harden, or is this a larger concern? Big game.
Jenna, this is a larger concern. Absolutely, positively a larger concern. And I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that quote from James Harden. If he had never done this before, if he had done it only a few times, a couple times, maybe, but this is a pattern. And this, guys, is why I came on this show right after the trade was made and said Philadelphia will not win a championship with James Harden. Because I questioned how he's going to respond when adversity hits, when times get tough. And that could be big games, playoff games, elimination games. There you see 1-7 in his last 8 elimination games. We've seen 2-for-11 shooting. We've seen 12 turnover games. It's just ridiculous some of the struggles Harden's had when times get tough. And also, I was really down on it because when your team goes through some adversity, when things aren't smooth, are you going to show perseverance, fortitude, and leadership, or are you going to quit and bail? And we've seen it happen twice with him. I've softened my stance, Nick, you know this, after seeing him play in the first 5 games, because quite honestly, I really like James Harden's game. When he's playing to his potential, you know, I've said he's an all-time great scorer and passer, which is unique.
And playmaker.
But this happened, playmaker. This just happens too often. I'm going to reserve what I do pick Philly to do before till we do it officially going into the playoffs. But this is the narrative that will shape the rest of the season for Philadelphia and a large part of James Harden's legacy going forward.
Yeah, it was a playoff atmosphere, and unfortunately looked like a playoff game because we've seen this from James before. And this is the tough part of it. This was, in my opinion, Wild's worst-case scenario for Philly. It was that you would be this hyped, this into it. The Nets would show up like it was a playoff game. Joel Embiid, even though he had a tough shooting night, he still found a way to be effective by continuing to get to the foul line. And Harden made 0 2-point baskets. He's 3 for 17. If you remove the Kings game, where we all say he was basically, you know, just trying to play his way out of Brooklyn, this was by game score, according to Basketball Reference, the worst game James Harden has had in at least 4 years. And it's not random. Wow. So that's wow. the concern there. And so, I mean, you're 3 for 17. All your baskets are three-pointers. You go 0 for inside the arc, and you only get to the free throw line twice. And listen, I'm sure he felt like he should have gotten more of the calls, but this is the bugaboo with Harden, Wilds. There are times where the worst version of Harden is a guy who's not necessarily trying to make shots as much as he's trying to get calls, and if he's not getting them, then he's less effective.
Not great.
And so I am very high on Philly. Now, I, unlike Broussard, you know, I haven't changed, you know, I'm not changing my pick week by week. I'm not. Yeah. It's the Nets, it's this, it's that.
Lakers.
The Sixers are dead, they're alive, they might be dead. I'm
Lakers.
Not doing it. No. I'm talking Eastern Conference, the West Coast over there, it's a time change, it's confusing. I have been riding with Milwaukee all year, I will continue to do so. However, Philly obviously showed you a few days, you know, in the days leading up to this, how dangerous they could be. And last night they showed you how dangerous they can be to themselves. And so it's a problem. There's no way around it. I really like the people that run the Sixers. I really like Embiid. I, once upon a time, was probably Harden's biggest supporter in the media. But a game like last night doesn't feel like a fluke. It feels like a trend, and that's the concern.
All right, so I'm gonna key in on something you just said. You used to really support James Harden. When he was in Houston, yeah. You felt like we sort of criticized him too much for the lack of defense. But you've come around yep. and saying like, maybe this guy doesn't have what has been referred to as the clutch gene. Why have you changed so much, Nick, on sort of like abandoning ship on your Harden fandom?
Because the sample size got too large. It was, you know, people used to be like, he didn't show up in the finals against the Heat. It's like, okay, the guy's 21 years old. He's a sixth man. Let's not kill him for that. And then it was, he had the 12 turnover game against the Warriors. It's like, okay, that Rockets team that year was way overmatched. But then there's the game against the Spurs when Kawhi's out, Broussard, that he played so poorly. I, for a long time, said I really thought, and I still kind of do, think that he was concussed, that he got concussed in game 5 because it was so wild to see how he played in game 6. But then in 2018, they're up 3-2. Chris Paul goes out. And it's, you know, it's what was he, 6 for 25 from 3 in those two games. And then even in a game 7 that they won in Houston, the bubble year against OKC, against Chris Paul. In that game 7, he was brutal. And then the Lakers series in the biggest spots, games 3. So eventually the sample size is large enough that I say, okay, the critics were right. You know, now I still think they underplayed how amazing it was when he averaged 36 and 34 in back-to-back years. But we know he can do that. This was a moment. This was the closest to a playoff game you're going to get, Brew. And the fact that it looked like a playoff game in a bad way, it's disconcerting to say the least if you're a Sixers fan.
And here's the other thing, Wiles, that's just interesting. That revelation to Nick, the light bulb going off, just happened to correlate exactly when Harden got traded to Brooklyn. So there's that, all right?
No.
don't leave that part out. But you are right. The sample size, Nick. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. The sample size is
well,
huge.
You are
absolutely right.
Go ahead.
Because I've given him the benefit of the doubt, too, time and time again. And I was ready to do it again, but it is hard to. And look, you can have bad games, right? It's one. The greatest have had off nights in big games, even. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you afraid of the moment? The issue is, do you make uncharacteristic mistakes? It's one thing to miss shots. It's another thing to be tentative. It's another thing to not take up the challenge. And we're going to get into the Nets later, but Kyrie Irving got in James Harden's chest. Kyrie's not a great defender.
That's right.
Kyrie's 3 inches shorter than Harden. And he was picking him up at times full court. Kyrie was like, let's do this. And Harden looked to me like he didn't want any of it. And that is what is scary. I thought I saw it last year, too. I kind of, again, gave him the benefit of the doubt because of the hamstring. But remember game 7 against Milwaukee. Now, he played a good game early. 22 points, 9 assists, 9 rebounds. Looking good. Fourth quarter in overtime, 5 points. And was basically like giving the ball to Durant and running over to the side like the rest of the Nets role players and watching KD go 1 versus 5. So it's hard to explain.
The sample size is getting bigger and bigger. And let me throw one other thing quickly at Wilds. I want to show you something. Wilds, if you asked 100 NBA fans who's had the better career, Dwayne Wade or James Harden, do you agree with me? I think 98 say Dwayne Wade, if not all 100. I think the vast majority of people, if they're ranking all-time players. Okay, and this is why the big game stuff matters so much. Show the graphic. Because objectively speaking, it shouldn't be close. It should be Harden. On regular season honors, they are in different universes. Harden's won an MVP and finished top 3 5 times. D-Wade finished top 3 once, never won it. He's 6-time first-team All-NBA versus 2, 3 scoring titles to 1, won it. So if you're looking at it, you're like, oh my God, one player is a Pantheon guy and the other is a great Hall of Famer. But it's reverse because everything we're saying about Harden, the opposite was true for Wade. He was best in the biggest moments. He always answered the bell. He went up a level. And so that's why this stuff really matters. And I understand last night was just a regular season game, but Jenna, it felt like more. And that it was just,
it did.
If it's a canary in the coal mine, it's a little concerning of a coal mine, Jenna.
All right, Nets with the big win last night over Philly. We'll have much more on this game throughout the show.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
First things first, let's talk some Jimmy G. The Niners quarterback could be the Niners' former quarterback pretty soon. Wednesday, the Colts traded Carson Wentz to the Commanders in Washington for draft picks. Now Indy will reportedly be, quote, in the mix for the quarterback wins king, Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he has won over 70% of his starts, Nick. I mean, all the guy does is win, unless it's the Super Bowl. Hey, Wilds, will Jimmy G be an upgrade over Carson Wentz?
Jenna, yes. Yes, he will be. And Nick,
what is going on?
You've denied us for so long. I want you now to join me and Broussard. Come over to the dark side of quarterback wins. Admit that Jimmy G is 37-16 in his career. Admit that he has the intangibles needed for Indianapolis to turn themselves into a playoff team. Admit that unlike Carson Wentz, he would have never lost that game in Jacksonville because, say it with me, he is a winner. Abandon your stats. Abandon your rationale. Use your eyes, the eye test, and quarterback wins. Join us!
Such an idiot.
Join us to the Jimmy G train of power and quarterback wins! Join us, my friend. You've resisted for too long. Say it! Say it, Jimmy G would be good on the Colts. Say it now! Say it!
Just say it, Nick. Put us all out of our misery.
Wow, well
Just
done.
Just say it.
All right.
Well done.
Jimmy G.
He's gonna say it.
Would
He's
be
about
a substantial upgrade over Carson Wentz. It would be the right move for the Colts.
There it is.
However,
wow.
That only proves that I am the only consistent person when it comes to Jimmy G on this show. Here's why. I've never said Jimmy G is an abomination. I've never been as hard on Jimmy G as I have been on Carson Wentz. But you guys have said, and Bruce Art keeps showing me the fancy graphic, one of seven quarterbacks last 50 years, win 70% of his games. So here, I'm going to put it back to you guys. If Jimmy G is can turn a Niners team that, Brew, you have told me, without him, what? They won like 20% of their games, right? Without him, they were terrible.
8-28.
Just awful.
8-28.
8-28 without him. Well, he's going to a team that the last 2 years is 20-13 with the last year of Phillip Rivers and with Carson Wentz. So if you two are to remain consistent, I sure as hell expect you to pick the Colts to win the conference, if not the Super Bowl. If they're 20-13, a playoff team and then a borderline playoff team, with they have that offensive line, that defense, all of it. The best running back in football, go Badgers, Jonathan Taylor. Now they've added the missing piece. They've added, according to you guys, a great quarterback. So obviously, if a team that's 8-28 without Jimmy G and then wins 70% of their games with him and he's the reason, then a team that's 20-13, your take, I assume, is the Chiefs are not the favorites. If the Colts get Jimmy G, it's their conference to lose, right? That's the take, correct?
Well, look. Before I address your attempt to turn this thing on its head, you called for the graphic. Let's see it. Look at this company G keeps. That is incredible. Every single one of those guys outside of Jimmy G is either a Hall of Famer or Lamar's got a great shot. We'll see going forward to become a
League
Hall of
MVP,
Famer.
Certainly Hall of Famer. Yep.
Yes. But here's the thing, Nick. And I have been consistent on this. As much credit as I've given Jimmy G, and let me recap that as well, because you like to gloss over it. The San Francisco 49ers with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And heck, D'Amico Ryans was on the staff. Robert Saleh was on staff too. And they had George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk were there. All of those guys were there. Mm-hmm. They were 1-10 when Jimmy G got there. And they just run off 5 wins. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. They go to Super Bowl a couple years later when he's healthy. So Jimmy G definitely had an impact and was hit on the head. He is rich in intangibles. Now, he's not the greatest physical quarterback, with all the tools. And I've never said I have always said, I'm not putting this guy in the class of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and so on and so on. He's not. But I'm saying if you can't get one of those superstar quarterbacks, then Jimmy G is a nice consolation prize, a very nice one. And he will go to Indianapolis with Frank Reich, the quarterback whisperer. Because Reich, look, bad as Carson Wentz, is and all that, he actually did, he improved Wentz a lot over what he did the year before in Philly. Now, what Frank Reich will do with Jimmy G, they have a great shot, Nick, a great shot at winning that division. I don't think they're better than Kansas City. I don't think they're better than Denver. Because Denver's got Mr. Unlimited, who you also try to kill. So they just, Jimmy G, I'm not going to overstate it, but this would be a great move for them, and they would be able to win that division battling Tennessee tooth and nail.
So listen, you're hedging. That's fine. I'm not calling him a great quarterback. Here's a list of six Hall of Famers and MVPs in Jimmy G. But I'm not calling him a great quarterback.
It's a fact.
That's Broussard's favorite thing. I'm just saying. So let me try to give a food analogy here. Quarterbacks, and I hate to, dehumanize people, but I will for a moment. All right. So Patrick Mahomes is your Japanese A5 Wagyu. Then you have a step down. Justin Herbert, for instance. He's a bone-in filet. Some people would even say, I prefer the bone-in filet to the A5 Wagyu. Now, they'd obviously be wrong. They haven't actually had real Wagyu, but they think they're right. But it's still great. Then you go another level down. You have Russell Wilson. He's a really good double cheeseburger. Like, ah, this hits the spot.
Oh,
I'm not mad at this at all. Then you go a level down
double
to Jimmy
cheeseburger.
G. Jimmy G is Oysters Rockefeller. Could be a nice compliment to an otherwise great meal. But you're just worried you're going to bite into that one bad one and get sick. Now, is that better than Carson Wentz, which is Soylent, just a meal replacement? Yes, of course, that's better than Carson Wentz. And is that better than Drew Lock? Is he better than Drew Lock, who's just literal poison?
What's
you
Drew
just
Lock?
Eat him and you die? Yeah, he's better. Drew,
jeez.
Yeah. So those are the things. But the idea that because I think Carson Wentz is better than, I'm sorry, Jimmy G is better than Carson Wentz does not mean that I think you guys are right, that Jimmy G has this je ne sais quoi that just makes him a winner when we watch the games and he closes his eyes and throws interceptions. So, no, I'm not coming around.
So
what about my vegan patty?
You should. I will reframe it, Jenna. First of all, I'm not going to talk about the Colts versus the Chiefs. I'm going to talk about the Colts versus the Titans. And do I think, because the Titans had the bye, not the Chiefs, because the Titans were better than the Chiefs this year in the regular season is what I'm talking about. Get Jimmy G to the playoffs. Get Jimmy G to that bye. Ooh, be nervous. I think with the Jimmy
to
G,
the
Colts defense, and Jonathan Taylor,
hey.
I think they're better than the Titans.
Back to football now.
Hey.
The NFL offseason up. Did you hear who's going where? Continues as the AFC West added another superstar yesterday. Chargers landing 3-time All-Pro pass rusher Khalil Mack from the Bears in exchange for 2 picks. Now you got Mack on one side. You got Joey Bosa on the other side, both trying to chase down guys like Mahomes and Carr and now Russ. So, Nick, Russ heads to Denver, Mack to the Chargers. Which team should scare your Chiefs more, Denver or L.A.?
Oh, this unequivocal, unquestioning. It's the Chargers. I am not sitting up here and acting as if the Chiefs are invulnerable, that the Chiefs are some massive juggernaut favorites the way they were a couple years ago. I'm not acting like that. And the Chargers, with Justin Herbert on a rookie contract, with an excellent, yes, I said excellent, cutting-edge young coach, with weapons galore on offense, and now, potentially, devastating bookend pass rushers, they have built a team specifically designed to contend with Kansas City. Their biggest weakness is run defense. I don't think Khalil Mack helps that, but the Chiefs don't run much. So to me, if I'm ranking AFC contenders, there are 4 that truly matter, in my opinion, headed into the year. The Chiefs, and it would be in this order, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chargers. People forgot about the Ravens because they had all the injuries last year. I think they'll be back. The Chargers, with this move, might have jumped the Ravens. So they might be the 3rd best team in the conference. So, and this is another reason why everyone overrated, in my opinion, what the Broncos did by adding Russell Wilson. The Broncos weren't close. The Chargers were incredibly close, and they just got better. You have to assume Herbert's going to be even better there because he's going into year 3 should be better than in year 2. And the team that should really be concerned about this is the Broncos. Russell Wilson runs himself into sacks more than just about any quarterback in the league. They don't have a great offensive line. And just like the Chiefs got to play Bosa and Mack twice a year, so does Mr. Limited. So it's unequivocal. The Chargers are a legit threat to Kansas City in a way the Broncos clearly are not.
Nick, all right, look, I'm with you. This was a great move for the Chargers. All right, obviously, their offense was great last year. We all like Justin Herbert. The defense was atrocious. And Kyle Mack will help, or Khalil Mack will help that, no doubt about it. However, they still have a coach. They still have a coach.
A great one.
Who acts like, treats real live football like he's a teenager sitting in his living room playing Madden. 4th and 12 from my own 25. Sure, I'll go for it. No.
And he didn't do that once
all
year.
He's got to come off
that.
That
didn't happen.
All right,
back there.
So, You know what I'm talking about. Wasn't it 4th and 18, whatever it was, from his own 18? 4th and something. So I'm going with the Broncos. And I get it. You don't like Mr. Unlimited. It's unlimited, not limited. Mr. Unlimited, you don't like his TikToks. You don't like his haircut. You don't like his pregame warm-ups and all that. But don't act like he can't ball. Don't act like he can't win. And you're sending him to a team that already had a great defense, third in the league in scoring defense, a team that's got a nice receiving core, got a nice young running back in Javonte Williams. I mean, what is not to like? Von Miller, by the way, coming fresh off his second Super Bowl, is dropping hints that he wants to go back.
Oh, I love
in
it.
Case you didn't know, 5280 is how long, the length of a mile. And he's saying, I want to go back to the Mile High Stadium. Right. And so Von Miller maybe could be back, but Denver, I'm shocked, Nick. Actually, I'm not. But you are woefully underestimating the Denver Broncos. To not say that they're in the Super Bowl race in the AFC when they just added a future Hall of Fame quarterback to a team that was really strong basically everywhere else, I don't understand it, Wilds.
Oh, well, so here's the thing. And I'm not going to be sitting on the fence where I say, well, both. I think the answer is you should be terrified of both teams. Like, if you're in shark-infested waters and there's great whites over here and there's hammerhead sharks over there, be like, which one is more dangerous? The correct answer is you're in bad spot either way you go. And, Nick, the biggest thing that I would be worried about as a Chiefs fan is this. And this is a little bit what Bucky Brooks talked about yesterday, that he said it's a copycat league, and the league saw Tampa go all in and win, and the league saw the Rams go all in and win. And it's almost like now we're going to get almost a binary league where it's like teams that think, we're going to go all in. This is the way to win now. You win now, go all in. And unfortunately for you, the Broncos have decided to go all in, and the Chargers have decided to go all in while you guys are all going all in. If the Raiders pop up and say, you know what, let's make a run in it with Josh McDaniels, I think you're in a very bad spot compared to my Patriots, where the Dolphins are floundering and the Jets are floundering. I only have to worry about the Bills. You have to worry about getting attacked from sharks on all fronts.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What evidence do you have the Chiefs are all in as opposed to the Chiefs are trying to maintain excellence? Have the Chiefs made some crazy trade?
Maybe they're not.
Have they made some crazy signing? No, well, here's the thing with multiple teams going all in.
Let go of Tyron.
By definition, at least one of them will go broke. And in most cases, all of them will go broke. I understand that the last 2 years, two teams that went all in ended up winning it all. I get all of that. We also should not act like either of those teams just coasted their way to the Super Bowl. They both were in perilous moments throughout the regular and postseason. Wilds is approaching this from a perspective of not just the 2022 season. And Wilds, if I'm putting words in your mouth, jump in. But about the Chiefs being able to build a dynasty, about the Chiefs being able to do what the Patriots did and win, stack rings. And so, listen, I have said it before, I will say it again. I do not think Patrick Mahomes will win 6 Super Bowls with the Chiefs like Tom Brady did with the Patriots. I do think, to Wilds' point, we are almost in an NFL super team era. I do think the fact that Brady was able to do it against inferior competition with the greatest coach of all time, it made his road easier, which is like, it's one of the reasons why, even if, say, Brady got 6 with the Patriots, say Mahomes ends with 4, but Mahomes got his 4 rings, against tougher competition in a tougher era with not quite as good coaching.
Go to break.
Even if you have 4 and the other guy has 6, you could be the best ever. So I think happen. I mean, that's a thing. Right. Sure, he has 7. You're right. I was just thinking about the Patriots. I don't know why I was thinking 6 versus 4, tougher competition, super team era, all of that. I don't know. I was a little confused, bro. But yes, I agree.
Yes,
things got a little harder. But that's good. It's good that it's more interesting. But my point to you, Broussard, is this. I think you believe that the Broncos traded for Russell Wilson of 5 years ago, and they did. They traded for Russell Wilson. And you think I don't like him. I think it's listen, I got no problem with him. I think it's really cool Sierra let him borrow her plane to come sign his contract. I think he'll have fun in Denver. I think the whole thing is nice, but I don't think he is a great, great quarterback at this point in his career. I think he's a very good quarterback.
He's not old. He's 33. Aaron Rodgers is what, about to be 38, if not already there? Tom Brady was 43.
Yeah, almost 39.
He is far from out of his prime, Russell Wilson. And the proof is in the pudding. Nick, last year, I told you this yesterday. Apparently, you didn't hear.
He was bad.
25 touchdowns.
Last year. He was bad
six
last year.
Interceptions. 25 touchdowns, six interceptions, a higher passer rating than Patrick Mahomes, than Tom Brady,
and
than Josh
yards.
Allen, than Kyler Murray. I mean, come on. And that's playing,
what,
at least three games? At least three games with a bad finger? At least. I mean, he's going to Nathaniel Hackett. And again, we don't know what type of coach as far as how good Hackett will be. But I like what I saw him doing as the OC in Green Bay. I like him throwing the deep ball with.
Oh, you could have been the OC in Green Bay.
Passer in the league.
Oh, stop it.
Hey.
You could have been the OC in Green Bay.
Rodgers wasn't doing that.
Oh, it's the OC.
Before LaFleur and Hackett got there, Rodgers wasn't doing that.
All right. Nick is to Russ in the NFL what he is to Nikola Jokic in the NBA. Nick's going to have some NBA medals.
A truth teller. That's right, Jenna.
One assist shy of a triple double, but his pregame outfit deserves much respect and the nod. Unfortunately, looking good doesn't get you a medal. Nick, what does get you a medal in the NBA last night?
Wow. And that's a great outfit. I love it. And Jenna, don't cut him short. One assist shy of a triple-double and one assist and just a few turnovers shy of a quadruple-double as Jokic threw the game away at the end. Bronze medal, Seth Curry. Oh, Seth Curry thrown in to the James Harden trade. He says, oh, you don't throw me in. I'm a key piece, my friends. 24 points on 10 of 14 shooting for, percentage-wise, one of the three greatest three-point shooters in the history of basketball. Silver medal, Kevin Durant. KD last night was spectacular. Early in the game, when he, this play right here. Oh, no, it's not this play, never mind. Early in the game, when he took it, that's the one right there. Had a little crossover full court and then dunked on him. You knew KD was locked in. He was sensational last night. However, not good enough for the gold. It's a family affair. The first medal stand ever with brothers on it.
Wow.
Steph Curry. Watch what Seth did. And he said, hold on a second. Hey, Steph, by the way, good job. Steph is on a group text with Giannis, LeBron, Magic, Michael, Bird, Kareem, and they're like, Steph, you can't let Joker enter our club. They're like, we're already trying to get Nash evicted from it. He's like, two-time MVP club, back-to-back, I got you guys. All put on the show, all win, all make sure we come away with a victory on national television. So Steph does a solid for his back-to-back MVP brethren and gets a goal.
Back here first things first, NBA champ Antoine Walker with us. Twan, we're talking Nets Sixers this morning, and just like me and just like you, Ben Simmons watched this one, did not play. He did show up, got showered with booze, and then got to see his teammates have a field day against the Sixers. KD and Kyrie combining for 47 points in this one, so bittersweet night. Finally, a complete game out of Brooklyn as the Sixers fell apart. Nets win big. Broussard, I'll start with you. What did Brooklyn prove last night?
Well, I thought they showed that, look, when they're whole, or really I should say close to whole, because obviously Ben Simmons still wasn't playing, that they can beat, they can play with and beat anyone in the league. Now, there are big questions to whenever they'll be whole, not just with Simmons, but obviously whenever will Kyrie be able to play every game. All right, so there's that. But there are no more big threes in the league. They've got a big two that can go and get theirs about against anybody, and they got a bunch of good role players. And so that's what they proved. They also, Twan, showed a heart and a level of mental toughness that I don't know if a lot of people gave them credit for. They're kind of viewed as a finesse team. And then because Kyrie is quirky and does his thing off the court, I don't know if people give them credit for being a really tough team. But last night, they showed heart. Like I said it earlier, Kyrie wanted James Harden. He talked about it before the game, you know, how, you know, he has no hard feelings with Harden, but he wishes they had communicated better. And then he went out there last night. You don't see top players anymore, Twan, guarding each other a lot, even when they're the same position. And Kyrie is 3 inches shorter than Harden. And he still wanted that matchup. We know he's not a great defender, but last night he was active defensively and challenged Harden. KD going at it with Joel Embiid, who's twice his size, is not height, but, you know, otherwise. KD wasn't backing down. Andre Drummond guarded Embiid tough early before he hurt his ankle. And so they looked really strong. James Johnson came off the bench, played his best game in maybe years, or one of his best games for sure, with the 5-block shot. So, Twan, I thought the Nets showed that if they get whole, even without Ben Simmons, if they just get Kyrie for full time, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the East, and they show major league heart last night.
I agree with you with all those takes, but for me, leaving that game, watching that game, I felt like that we saw probably the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't know if they're ready to put them over the Milwaukee Bucks yet, but they are the second best team. When they get whole, they get Ben Simmons, because you saw last night, they don't need Ben Simmons to score the basketball. When you think about the additions of Steph Curry, Patty Mills, and then you got Joe Harris who's sitting out. So when they get home, Ben Simmons can be Ben Simmons, where he can rebound, assist, be in the open court, be great, and more importantly, just defend. And this is a perfect fit for him. Once Kyrie gets over, we get over this vaccination situation, they're going to be a tough team to deal with for the next 3, 4, maybe 5 years. So this core is still young. I know Durant's cut on the backside of this thing, but they showed me a lot last night. And I take that from the magnitude of the game. This was a playoff game. I don't know. And it's funny. Everybody may say, oh, it's one game. It was not one game. As a player, an ex-player, it's certain games on the schedule that you circle. This is one you could tell KD circled and Kyrie. They were prepared. Yeah. They was focused. Right. Their energy level
Harden
was
didn't
up.
Circle it.
They were ready to go. So you got to believe that those guys – When this team gets whole, they're going to be scary, man. You saw a different team last night. And I'm going to tell you who the steal of that trade was. The steal of this trade was Andre Drummond.
They got younger.
They got stronger in the middle. Now you're not dealing with guys who's at the end of their career, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin. You got a guy who can catch and can finish. And then you got a young big and Nicholas Claxton. So now you got a real 12 fouls. And two guys that can be very active. Okay. Look out for Brooklyn when they get home.
Oh, Antoine, I'm so happy you're here. And I'm glad Broussard is back on the Nets Kool-Aid. This is my happy place, where the Nets show a flash of what they could be if they weren't just a figment of our imagination. And immediately everyone pretends that they're not currently, you know, the 8 seed. That if, when Kyrie comes, right now, by the way, even if New York changes its laws, you know who's not? Toronto, which is where the Nets would be in play-in game number one at Toronto. So they'd be without Kyrie for that. But forget that. Here's the thing, because I love it. And this is, by the way, in an individual game or even an individual series, of course they're scary because of Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant was good, but not even out of this world last night. And he looked like the best guy on the court. This is why the other day when we were like, who's more dangerous, Boston or Brooklyn? I thought it was so silly. It's like Brooklyn, obviously, because they have Kevin Durant. With that said, Wilds, they are, in my opinion, underdogs to make it out of round one. And they have no shot to make it out of round two. Okay, well, let's just be clear here. Antoine just said he'd have them as second best to Milwaukee. They might play Milwaukee in round one. If you are in the play-in, you are playing either the one or the two seed. So if you think, and by the way, people are discounting as they always do, Antoine though won't, the Miami Heat, Heat culture, Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra, they might be the Brooklyn's round one playoff opponent. The idea that Brooklyn which is, you know, has been a 500-ish team throughout the year, that they are going to win. They might have to win back-to-back play-in games, if not win the play-in game, then go win 4 out of 7 against the Heat or this Sixers team or Milwaukee, and then win another series just to get to the conference finals. We have never seen that level of consistency from this team. So would I be happy if I were the one seed and I ended up with the Nets? Of course not. Of course I'd rather end up with the Cavs if they were to fall down, or the Raptors, whomever. But do I think the Nets are going to go one step further in the playoffs this year than they did last year? Last year, where they were the greatest team ever to lose in round two? No, I don't. I think they'll be very fortunate to get to round two. That's what I think.
But we haven't seen the real Nets. This was the biggest step towards the real Nets that we've seen. And Ben was in a beautiful Louis Vuitton sweater. And the biggest thing that I thought was proven last night, Antoine, was the biggest thing that was proven was the Nets are better friends than I am. For me, Antoine, it takes a good 6 months before I'm willing to really ride for you. Kevin Durant and Kyrie are like, Ben is our brother. Kyrie after the game. If you come at Ben, you come at us. This dude just joined the team. And I felt like there was worries about the chemistry on this squad. He's new. Seth is new. Andre's new. Ben is new. What's going to happen? And it felt like the Nets really rode for Ben in a way that I didn't expect. Were you surprised that the Nets were so energized almost by the vitriol that was shown to Simmons, that they took it as a personal affront to their team? I thought it was a great sign of their team unity.
I thought it was great. I was a little surprised that when I read the comments and saw some of the things that they said afterwards. But I can understand. But you got to remember, KD and Kyrie were ready for this game. James Harden left them. They're not coming out publicly and said, but they was feeling a certain type of way. And we know KD and Embiid have had some words in the past. And also, KD and Kyrie know they want to see where they at. This hasn't been a great season. They've been hurt. They haven't had a whole roster. When you're talking about two superstars, two guys who go is to win a championship, this was a perfect, like, let's see where we at. Let's go out here and come out with a playoff mentality, and let's see how far we're away if we can really do this. Let me tell you something. We wondered, when they first put KD and Kyrie Irving together, we wondered what was going to be the pieces around them. I got to give Sean Marks credit. Even though it's not the greatest way they did it, they finally got the pieces around them to be good for multiple years. They need to re-sign Drummond. Mm. Ben Simmons will be back. You got Steph Curry. You got Patty Mills. You got Joe Harris. They got great pieces to play with these two superstars who can score, who has unbelievable offensive package. I know they may not get it done. Nick, they may be right. The seeding may hurt them this year and not playing together. But this team will be something to reckon with for multiple years. I just saw that last night. I think KD and Kyrie probably left there like, man, we could be really good. When we get Ben, we're going to be really good. We finally got our team in place.
Now, look, on paper, you love them. And I want to throw this at Nick. Nick, you're talking about them like Kyrie's not going to be playing home games, which is fair because right now he's not. But are you saying regardless, like if next week he's able to play home games and he'll be ready for the playoffs?
Round two ceiling.
I don't see how in the world
just
you
like
can say
last
that.
Year.
And I hear you that when I said that Boston would go further, I'm thinking that Kyrie he's not playing home games. And Ben Simmons, who knows when he'll be back, which is still a question. But they're whole – And I'm fine with you saying Milwaukee's better if you really think that. But to not give them a chance when they're whole?
No.
That's baffling to me. That they're not in Milwaukee's league. Because that's when you say they don't have a chance, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, correct. It baffled you last year as well, and then they lost, even though Durant played the best 3 games of his life. So listen,
they had two of their stars injured. Two of their stars were injured.
Well, I mean, Kyrie or James Harden played in every single game of that series. But luckily this year, the NBA turned injuries off for the playoffs, so we don't have to worry about something like that happening again for an injury-prone team. But listen, Wilds, it's March 11th of year 2 of these – actually, year 3 of KD and Kyrie together. It's March 11th since they the third year since they joined the Nets. And you just said this is the beginning. This is sign of things to come. This is like they're like Elon Musk's Hyperloop. Like it's always it's going to be amazing. It's never showing up, guys.
I am interested
it's
in that.
Never actually going to be here. But it sounds good. It on an idea, on a blueprint, it looks
no
good.
Traffic.
Okay, but I'm excited for in year four, they're the most dangerous team. Now they're finally gelling. Okay, we can wait. We got 15 games left in year three. They've made it out of round
one. Despite Brooklyn's win, Nets and Sixers still tied with the best odds to win the East. So who knows? We'll see how it goes down the stretch. Back here with Antoine Walker. Twan, we're talking Nets in Philly, game of the night, and yet somehow James Harden did not get that memo. The Beard finishing 3 of 17 from the field, just 11 points in a 129-100 rout against his former team. But according to Harden, this loss might actually have been a positive. Take a listen.
Tonight was good for us, man. We got our ass kicked, and you know, since I've been here, everything has been, you know, sweet, and you know, we've been winning games, and so tonight was good for us, and we get an opportunity to come down to reality, you know, watch them and just continue to get better and making sure we hit the right strides.
Hashtag glass half full. Antoine, was this just a blip from Harden, or was this a larger concern?
I think it's a larger concern. I've been very critical of James Harden, not of him as a player, but just can you win an NBA championship with him? And this is the reason why, is because of situations like this. I know it's one game, and James has been unbelievable since he's got there, but this is a big game. I said this earlier. This is one of those games you circle on your calendar, a team you just left, you want to beat. It's a measuring stick, and you need him to show up. And believe me, James wanted to have a huge game. National TV, at home, in front of the Philly fans. He wanted to show that they could possibly get over the hump with this guy being there. So those things play a part in that. But I do love his comments. I love the fact that he took ownership of the situation. He understands that he's going to have to get better. But I took something that's even a bigger picture from this game with Philly and with James Harden. He's taken away from some of the guys that have been playing great for Philly. And one guy in particular, and that's Tobias Harris. When you think about Tobias Harris, he had 16 last night. But Tobias Harris is the guy that needs to figure it out. And Doc is going to probably have to figure it out. Maybe putting Tobias in the second unit a little bit more. You can't lose his offense. You got a guy like – and Maxey's been great. But Maxey's young. He hasn't played in a lot of meaningful big games. So he's got to get some experience in that. So I'm just worried about – Harden trying to settle in, you're trying to do things to fit around him. And B doesn't need Harden. I've said that in the beginning. He doesn't need him. But Tobias Harris, I think you're losing him a little bit on the offensive end and what he was giving you. And they're not as deep as they were. This trade shortened their roster, shortened their bench up a little bit. So Harden has to be great. And I'm not saying he won't be come playoff time, but these are the problems that we run into a little bit with Harden in big games that he doesn't show up.
Yeah, Twan, look, I think they have enough on paper again, all right? Yeah, Tobias has had struggles since Harden got there, but like you said, Tyrese Maxey has stepped up and become darn near third star for the most part. So if Tobias becomes the fourth guy, as long as Maxey's delivering, I'm fine. They still got a great defender in their fifth starter, Matisse Thybulle. The depth is not what it was, but I think it's okay. They got one question mark, and that is, what is James Harden going to do when adversity strikes? Now, that might be adversity in terms of a big game, an elimination game, the playoffs, whatever, or it could be adversity in terms of, you know, things going bad on the team and him bailing. Whatever the case, we have seen that when times get tough, James Harden, more often than not, has struggled and has disappeared. And Twan, it's worse than struggling. Because you know this, everybody, the best of them, Jordan, LeBron, Bird, Magic, have had bad games at times, have missed shots. Everybody can do that. But Harden seems to shrink. Like, he seems to sometimes not shoot, get tentative. Turn the ball over uncharacteristic. I know he's a high turnover guy anyway, but sometimes turning it over double what he does, you know, already, or seven times or more in a big game. So this is going to be the narrative, Nick, that defines the rest of this season for Philadelphia. And a large part of James Harden's career if, again, he doesn't get it done.
Listen, you're right. And, I mean, 3-for-17, though, is really bad. It was, if you take out the Kings game, it was, according to game score, if you care about that stat, the worst game he's had in 4 years. Other than that game against the Kings where he seemed to be quitting. 3-for-17 is bad. It's not quite as bad as 3-for-18 down 0-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals after you spent the whole night gambling in Atlantic City, but luckily Scottie Pippen bailed Michael out there. But it's pretty bad. Here's what I want to ask Antoine. Everyone forgets about that. That guy, he's gambling all night, goes 3-for-18, down 0-2. Seems relevant. All right, here's what I want to ask Antoine, though. Because speaking of Michael, greatest shooting guards in league history. Michael, Kobe, West, and then the next two on the list, I think on everybody's list, are Wade and Harden. You want a ring with Wade, but I want to show you their regular season resumes, if you would. We can put them side by side because it's not close, right? Harden has an MVP, Wade doesn't. Harden has 5 top threes, Wade has 1. First team All-NBA scoring titles, assist titles, Harden washes it, right? But I don't think anybody, if you're ranking all-time players, currently says Harden was better than Wade. I've never met someone with that take. Yep, Harden's better than Wade. Because, and tell me if I mean, you won the title with Wade. You were a huge part of that. Wade, in the biggest moments throughout his career, until his knees went, seemed to not only maintain his level, get better. He seemed to relish those moments. And that, to me, is why last night was concerning, because last night was as big of a regular season game as you can have. It was felt like a playoff game. It's like, oh, we've seen this story before. And that's, to me, the differentiator. And that's what Harden, because if Harden has a great playoff run, Antoine, and wins a title, then the he versus Wade argument's over. Because that is the question. The question is, can he do that? Does he have that in it?
I would say, what made D-Wade special, even when he was not scoring the basketball, he could put his imprint on the game. And that means get to the foul line, get out of transition, still defend, make a big defensive play. I think when you look at Harden, even though he goes 3-for-17 last night, but if he does other things, he gets other people involved, plays solid defense. You can't let your offense dictate if you're going to have an impact on the game. Just think about it. Embiid had a strong impact on the game. He went to the free throw line 19, 20 times in the first half. Even though shots was not falling for him, but he still was able to put his imprint on the game and establish himself down low, get 3 fouls on Drummond. That's what Harden has to do. He did not get to the free throw line last night. You got to figure out a way to offset it. The Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, those guys, when they have bad shooting nights, they're going to get to the free throw line 12 to 15 times. They're going to make a play on the defensive end, or they're going to do some other things on the court to impact the game. I just think with Harden, he didn't do enough to impact the game last night, and everything was predicated on whether or not he was missing making shots.
So, Antoine, I want to stay here. Do you think that this was just another indictment of Harden and that he shrinks in big games, or was the other factor that the Nets knew how to guard James Harden? I'll read you this quote from KD. When he's getting downhill, getting to the free throw line, that's when they're tough to stop, and we eliminated a lot of that stuff. So is there a chance, I'm trying to be a little bit of a Harden apologist, that maybe he didn't shrink, maybe just Steve Nash and KD figured out how to stop him, and this is going to, and maybe Harden will be able to, you know, switch his game around. But are we not giving the Nets defense enough credit for stopping Harden?
I think that's a great point. Of course they knew his tendencies very well. I mean, Steve Nash has spent plenty of times probably trying to figure out how to make Harden better on the offensive end. So he knows his strengths and weaknesses very well with all the film. These guys have practiced against each other, so they definitely know that. The fear factor is not there of guarding him because they've guarded him every day in practice. All those things play a part. And sometimes for James, that should help him out as well. Because he's went against those defenders. And he should be able to figure out other ways. He can figure out other ways to score the basketball. I just think with for Harden, he has to have an impact on the game, regardless of whether or not he's scoring a basketball. He's one of the most talented offensive guys we got. He's a triple-double threat every night. So sometimes it may be him getting 15 assists, 10 rebounds, doing it on the defensive end. He can't get lost and get in this whole thing that he needs to be, 14 for 17 from the field to be effective. The nights when you're not shooting it well, you got to do other things.
Well, let's see if you can do those other things. Harden can get back on track Sunday against Kevin Wild's Magic. See if he can do it. First things first, we are talking some Jimmy Garoppolo this morning. The Niners quarterback could be the Niners' former quarterback pretty soon. Remember, on Wednesday, the Colts traded Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders for draft picks. And now Indy will reportedly be in the mix for quarterback wins king Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, he has won over 70% of his starts, Nick. I mean, all the guy does is win unless it's the Super Bowl. Hey, Kevin Wilds, will Jimmy G be an upgrade, do you think, over Carson Wentz?
In every way imaginable. Because what you should imagine is when you look up at the scoreboard, the team that Jimmy G is quarterbacking has more points than the team that he's going against. It's called quarterback win. Quarterback winning
Facts.
God
Facts.
Delivered himself a Subway Facts. Commercial with his Nana. It's a beautiful Subway commercial. Fantastic. Going right after Tom Brady's corner. God. So, Nick, I just want you to admit that Jimmy G would be a significant upgrade over Carson Wentz. And why did Carson Wentz have to leave Indianapolis? Intangibles. Who is just brimming with intangibles? Oh, it's Jimmy G. And what was the final straw that broke the Colts' back? Carson Wentz goes to Jacksonville. Oh, and Trevor Lawrence and his big neck end up defeating the Colts, and the Colts sit home for the playoffs. Would Jimmy G have lost that game? Of course he wouldn't. You know why? Because Jimmy G has only lost 16 games in his whole gosh darn career. He's won 37 of them. So, Nick, even you, who is a little bit reluctant to come over to the side of truth and goodness that Broussard and I represent of quarterback wins, have to admit that Jimmy G would be an upgrade and that the Colts should aggressively pursue him.
Yes, and a can of Spam would be an upgraded meal over this folder, but it doesn't mean it's good. It's just like it's better than what I had. Like, come on, man. I agree Jimmy G is better than Carson Wentz. That is, you're trying to prove something that was never in debate. You know, I've not been some big Carson Wentz guy. You two were the two folks who were telling me, oh, Colts are dangerous. Nobody wants to play them. That defense, that offensive line, Jonathan Taylor. So I will put the question on its head because Brew loves talking about how the Niners were 1-10 in the 11 games before Jimmy G got there, and then boom, they're in the Super Bowl. Okay, so what if Jimmy G went to a team that wasn't 1-10, but over the previous 2 years was 20-13, and they had done it with the final year of Phillip Rivers, the worst year he had in a decade, and Carson Wentz? What if you go to that team in a mediocre at best division? I assume, Brew, the Colts, if they were to get Jimmy G, are your pick to win the AFC. How could they not be? He's quarterback wins guy. He's now on a good team that was this close to making the playoffs with Carson Wentz, that made the playoffs with old man Rivers. So I don't want to steal your take, but if they get Jimmy G, you got him going to the Super Bowl, correct?
You should know by now, Nick. I am too smart to fall into your little trap. All right, see, here's what I know. Here's what I know. You seem to think you're in the class of Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, or you're garbage, okay? No, that's not how it works. Jimmy G, okay, nobody has said, for all the praise that Wild and I have heaped on him, for yes, the intangibles, and yes, being able to win, we've never said he's like a all-pro guy. He's not even a Pro Bowl guy. All we've said is if you can't get one of those all-pro guys, then he's a very nice consolation prize. That's it. But you say he's garbage. All right? And the fact is, you now are coming over to our side. You are admitting that there is something to quarterback wins, and that if they get him in Indianapolis, they will indeed be dangerous. Now, I'm not going to say they'll win the AFC, but I will say this. They have a great chance of beating Tennessee out to win that division because the AFC is tough. The AFC is deep. They're going to be in the hunt, though. They will be another team for Kansas City to worry about. That's for darn sure. So, Jimmy G, so yes, that'd be a huge upgrade. And it'd be something for you to shiver about.
No, okay. So here's the... Okay, that last part, no, I would not be worried about the Colts with Jimmy Garoppolo. No, of course I wouldn't be. But, again, like, this is the thing. You and... Wild, you and Broussard try to have it both ways. You guys try... If quarterback wins are the only stat you're hanging your hat on, which is the only one you can with Jimmy G, then you must fully embrace it. And the quarterback wins stat says he is one of the best quarterbacks in football. If you guys are, if you're saying, oh, he's not that, he's just adequate, then we've been arguing about nothing. I agree. He is somewhere from the 15th to 19th best quarterback in football. And Wentz is somewhere from the 22nd to the 27th best quarterback in football. So, of course, it's an upgrade. But you guys out here talking about him like he was not a passenger on the train, like he was leading the train. So now I'm telling you, he's now on a bigger, stronger, faster train. He's now on a better team in an easier division. So what's the deal? Yeah. I don't understand, like, why the train now is a better conductor. Go ahead, sorry.
Because I believe in intangibles. Do I care about how many reps my quarterback can do of the bench press? Do I care about the three-cone drill? I don't. Do I even care about arm strength? Not really, because Carson Wentz got a better arm than Jimmy G. What I care about is being a force multiplier, as Mangini says. And where Jimmy G goes... wins follow, and he's the exact opposite of Carson Wentz, who when they drafted Jalen Hurts, he melted down and basically quit and powdered his way out of Philadelphia. But when the San Francisco 49ers drafted Trey Lance, he brought him to the Super Bowl.
All right, time now for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Nets, Sixers, James Harden had an abysmal night in the Sixers blowout loss to his former Brooklyn team. It didn't stop the Beard from apparently going out and celebrating with Travis Scott and Lil Baby after the game. Wilds, you got a problem with this?
Jenna, if you score 11 points and shoot the lowest field goal percentage of your entire season during a game where Kyrie and KD played like it was a playoff game, and boos were raining down not only on Ben Simmons, but by the time we got to the third quarter, raining on the Philadelphia 76ers, you got to take one sparkler off that cake. You cannot have that many sparklers. I'm okay having the birthday. I'm okay celebrating with friends. But that is too many sparklers, and it does not match up with your performance. In all seriousness, Broussard?
No correlation.
This is a bad look for Harden. Does it offend me? No. There's real problems in the world, obviously. But it's a bad look. Like, Harden seems to be aware of his image at times, and at sometimes totally unaware of his image. So this is the polar opposite of, you know what? After the game, I just decided to run some stairs. I decided to treat myself like Rocky Balboa at the art museum, just running up and down stairs. And then when I get to the post-game press conference, I'm drenched in sweat. I say, oh, me? Yeah, it turns out I was running the stairs. Yeah, you know, decided to get a little workout after a full-on NBA game. So, yes, I think that he's trying to manage his image a little bit, and I would say more stair running and less fewer sparklers. That would be my take.
All right, you're absolutely right that it is a bad look. All right, it looks terrible. He had a horrible game, and he didn't circle it. You know, Jenna said KD and Kyrie circled it on their calendars. He clearly didn't, all right? And if he did, he certainly didn't perform well. But what's he supposed to do? be sitting in his basement in a dark room by himself. I mean, he's got to let it go. He's going to have a life. All right, this had no impact on the game. I'm sure it was somebody's birthday party. I'm sure the plans were before the game, and he went to spend time with his friends. For all we know, he may have only been there for an hour, for 45 minutes, and was like, yo, I got to get home, you know. So I have no problem with it. It is a bad look, Wilds. It's definitely a bad look. But when you sit down and think about it, this might be the best way to get past it.
Get past it and go home.
It's a bad look.
It's not. It's only a bad look.
You just ripped Nick. You just ripped Michael Jordan You just ripped Michael Jordan a few segments ago for when they were down 0-2 in the playoffs. He already had championships. He already was viewed by many as the GOAT. All right. And he went to Atlantic City and hung out all night the night before a game. You just ripped him. And now you're letting this fly when Harden has no hardware, no team hardware.
Wait a moment.
So I'm just saying, don't act like it ain't a bad look. It's a bad look. That's all.
You're going to make me mad.
Not a bad move.
First of all, Jordan was already viewed by some as the GOAT, even though he only had two rings at that time. You mean so we didn't start doing count the rings until it was Jordan that got six? That's interesting. Neither here nor there. Yeah, of course, there is a difference between gambling all night because you have a crippling gambling addiction the night before a playoff game and then going 3-for-18, then going to a birthday party because you have a semi-crippling nightclub addiction the night after a game. They're not the same thing. They're the same thing. You guys are just old curmudgeons. And Wilds, you make me mad here because you try. Hey, buddy. Here's the thing, this is something the audience might not know about Kevin Wilds. Actually, quite cool. Underrated sneakerhead, knows a shockingly amount, a lot about hip-hop, like has cool friends. Wow. But every once in a while, you put on your old cardigan and you say, oh, that is not how you should handle a loss. And it's embarrassing. But he's young, rich, and famous. And he has young, rich, famous friends. And he's... out of work.
Works
over for the day.
We're saying is bad look. That's it. Not a bad move.
Here's what I say. Then don't run the stairs. Don't run the stairs. If you want me to say, oh, he's running the stairs. He's so committed. Like, he could have been on an elliptical back there. He ran the stairs because you're in public sending a message. This also sends a message, and it's the opposite of running the stairs. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to act like this doesn't exist. And yes, I understand that to have your peak physical performance at 8:30 p.m., you're actually your whole body clock shifts far later. So I get it. You can stay out as long as you want because that's the way it worked. And I hate when people say, like, all right, you should be in bed at midnight. That's not how it works. That's how it works if you're an accountant. But if you're going to run the stairs and we have to be like, wow, great job, you're allowed to say this is the converse. That's all I'm saying.
This is not the opposite of running the stairs. The opposite of running the stairs is if we had video of him smoking Marlboro Reds, walking around, cheeseburger in one hand, heater in the other. This is not anti-athletic achievement. This is not hurting his cardio. This is him at a party. James Harden, listen, he had a bad game, and we've been critical of you today. This I've got no problem with whatsoever, Jenna.
All right, speaking of the game in which Harden didn't exactly play well, Ben Simmons was watching this one, did not play, did show up, got to see his teammates have a field day against Harden and the Sixers. KD and Kyrie combining for 47 points. We finally, after a rough stretch, got perhaps a complete game out of Brooklyn. Broussard, what did the Nets prove to you last night?
Jenna, they proved, and I know this is a big if, it's because there's so many questions surrounding them, but they proved that when they are whole, or just close to whole, because obviously Ben Simmons wasn't playing, that they can play with and beat anybody in the NBA. That's what they proved. I mean, I'm not going overboard. Kevin Durant, obviously in the conversation for best player in the world. Kyrie Irving
That's right.
An awesome player who is not afraid of the moment, has proven he is clutch. And then you have a nice host of role players around him, including a Seth Curry, who got ice in his veins and can shoot the lights out. And so they proved that when whole, and I get it, Nick, who knows when they'll be whole. Kyrie can't even play in home games. He's got like 4 games left that he can play in the regular season. So fair, that's fair. But I'm just saying, this team, if that vaccine mandate in New York is lifted, and if Ben Simmons comes back physically and mentally, he's right, and I thought last night mentally was a step in the right direction, the Nets are going to be tough because, Nick, they showed tremendous heart and a degree of mental toughness that I don't think they get a lot of credit for. I didn't give them a lot of credit for it. They're viewed as a finesse team. Kyrie's kind of viewed as out there. And, you know, KD is burner accounts and all that stuff. Last night, they were like, look, we're coming in here to take your lunch money.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, exactly. KD not backing down to Embiid, Kyrie, you know, going chest to chest with James Harden and winning that battle, defending him. I loved what I saw from the Nets. And if they can get hold, the million-dollar question, they're going to be tough to be dealt with.
Quick question. You said Seth Curry ice in his veins. Is he on that list with Reggie Miller of guys already more clutch than LeBron or not yet? Just give him a few more weeks. I'm not sure. Okay, neither
here. Reggie Miller. Don't disrespect Reggie Miller. Don't disrespect
him. Oh, Reggie Miller. 18-3-3. 5 All-Star games. Top 75.
Clutch.
Okay.
All right,
so.
It's not about who's better.
He's better than Spike.
He's clutch.
Better player than Spike Lee.
He's not better.
That's fine. Okay, now let's get on topic. Here's the deal. It's March. Wilds, if this were March Madness, the Nets would be a very frisky 6 seed to go on a Final Four run if it was one-and-done games. But the playoffs are a long, hard slog. And you know what you're not going to do? You're not going to be a 500 team all year with, once again, we're in the third year of KD and Kyrie together. We can throw out the first year because KD didn't play, but it's the third year since they've signed up to play together. We got 15 games left in the season. And do you know what the Nets look like fully formed? No, because we literally haven't seen
it. Not yet.
That team is not going to win multiple playoff rounds as the 8th seed or the 7th seed. So where do I think the Nets are? I think that here's what I think the Nets have a chance to do this year, in fairness. I think they have a chance to break their own record for greatest team ever to not get out of round two. The greatest team I've ever seen not get out of round two was last year's Nets, and this year, maybe they'll be better than that. But they are, to me, an underdog to win round one against the Heat or the Bucks or the Sixers, and I would be shocked if they win round two. Shocked if they get out of round two, much less win a title.
I vehemently disagree, and here's why. Broussard, you always brought this up, and I thought it was very astute. We were always worried, hey, you're kind of building this team on the fly. You're trying to refill the airplane while it's in motion. Like, what is this team going to look like? And we still don't 100% know. But the thing that you were most worried about was chemistry. And I thought last night, the way that KD and Kyrie took those boos and said, like, you're booing Ben Simmons, guess what? You're booing us too. And they took it to the Nets. I thought that was the best sign of Ben all of a sudden very quickly being absorbed with that team. Also, the fact that no one thinks Ben is going to come out with a lot of swagger, the Louis Vuitton sweater and the nice diamonds that he was wearing tells a different story. Ben Simmons is going to come out guns blazing, Jenna. Well, he's going to take that sweater off, have a beautiful jersey on. Watch out for the Nets. Ooh, loved it.
What, Nick?
Sounds like scary hours.
Good take, Wild.
Scary hours.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.